Welcome back to the Modern Mission Critical Series. This month, we're discussing law enforcement in the cloud, providing an integrated and secure solution, sponsored by Unisys. Here's your moderator, Tom Timmon.
Welcome, and thanks for listening. Our guests today are Mark Foreman, the Global Head of Public Sector at Unisys, Steve Cousin, the Vice President for Cloud Strategy and Integration Services for Unisys Federal, and Patrick Doyle, the Global Justice, Law Enforcement, and Border Security Subject Matter Expert for Public Sector at Unisys. And our subject today is law enforcement in the cloud. And Mark, I'm going to ask you the first question, and you all can answer it, basically, is what's driving law enforcement toward the cloud for its computing resources these days?
I think there are two major issues. Number one is the globalization of the threat or the crime environment. You know, we've got global terrorism, we've got cybercrime, we've got refugee issues that require a mixture of social services. Many of these issues have become global, but at the end of the day, the enforcement, the activity has to happen at the local level. They all require collaboration. They all require information sharing. So that there's a need to leverage network effects and network tools. And on the other hand, costs are very constrained in law enforcement. Most of the money has to go for the boots on the ground. So it's a mixture of cost pressures and the mission need.
And Patrick, of course, you come from law enforcement, and so you have that view on the ground at the local level of it. What are the issues from that point of view?
I do, and I think that it's actually come down to safety. I might add that every dollar that can go towards putting officers in the street or following up on investigations or providing community service or synergizing with other parts of government adds to the safety of the community. And so technology and the cloud can help
lower costs. It's mission related, ultimately.
It ultimately is, and the budgets of police departments are more related to IT budgeting than ever before to match their operations. They used to be entirely separate and distinct. They're no longer. They're almost one at this point.
All right, and Steve, so what are some of the benefits that a cloud solution can offer? I mean, law enforcement has been online to some degree for a while now, but this takes it to a new level.
That's right, and certainly what Mark was referencing, that the collaboration capabilities within the cloud, certainly the low-cost capabilities that the cloud provides and the elasticity to kind of grow by the drink as you use it. And that capability is very useful, especially when a cost situation.
And do you find that law enforcement agencies, say at the non-federal level, are able to have the flexibility for monthly types of budgeting for services like that?
That does provide that. So you have more of an anticipated operational expense that you can predict. Versus expending large capital sums. That's true.
All right, Mark, what are some of the models that make sense for law enforcement to look at?
There are a couple of key models that are largely being driven by what I would say are longer-term trends. One is the need to organize by task forces. When you start to leverage the cloud, you bring together data, the networking and collaboration capabilities, analytics capabilities, and presentment with like devices in now a much more secure environment. You can literally compartmentalize around that task force. In the old days, you'd have to bring in servers. You'd have to go find the data. You'd have to load it on disks and reload. It was costly. It was time consuming to set that up. So we find law enforcement can move much faster now and in a much better state of collaboration. You get the cost benefits and you get the increased time to respond benefits.
Patrick, that idea of collaboration and secure group sounds really important. It's probably fair to say in the last 15 years, law enforcement has become a vertical cooperative type of thing, federal, state, local, for terror and just crime in general. So is the culture more acclimated to that kind of working together at different jurisdictional levels in some kind of secure environment?
It is, and I would say it's leaning that way. It's not where it needs to be entirely, but the cloud helps that because it allows you to establish a collaborative environment easier, even the politics of law enforcement, because we all know jurisdictions sometimes either squabble or there are overlays of who has a responsibility for what. But the cloud allows you to not be the executive agent and there's a bunch of minion agencies that belong to you. It allows you to exist in a more sharing environment. So the cloud is really just slightly ahead of where law enforcement is going, but certainly trending in that direction. It's going to help drive that towards a collaborative environment, which is needed, of course.
So, Steve, it's probably fair to say that other industries beyond law enforcement have already found how they can benefit in this collaborative way with the cloud. So tell us more about that.
Certainly, yes. Certainly the healthcare industry, now that these clouds are gaining in security capabilities, becoming more, say, HIPAA certified or, you know, payment card certified, certainly CJIS type of certifications, and it's inviting the other kinds of environments to consider it now. We also provide extra layered security on top of the clouds that we provide. We have different models where we have either a private cloud running out of our data centers, or we leverage the commercial cloud providers who have come a long way. For example, Amazon Web Services, maintaining those certifications that I talked about, and the capability that Unisys brings with our own, what we call stealth software, we layer that on top of Amazon Web Services. We worked very strongly with them for several years now, and the other cloud providers, to integrate this software to help, you know, what we call micro-segmentation. So we break the network into virtualized communities of interest, and we encrypt and we allow those kinds of communities to talk between each other and internally, and that essentially cloaks those communities from anybody else. So we help isolate and protect those communities of interest.
And I guess at this point, we're still talking about infrastructure as a service, but what about the applications for law enforcement that might be unique to law enforcement? Is that something you offer, and is it hosted in the same manner, Patrick?
Yes, and again, better in a collaborative environment, because if you're going to share, what an easier space to do it than to put an application in the cloud where the sharing is almost built in. So, for instance, let's just talk about digital imagery. It's law enforcement is amassing digital imagery at a rate that is hard to believe, but it's easier to store, to share, and to use amongst agencies, and I should say, even more importantly, along the continuum from local to state and on to federal. So the applications such as a secure image management solution, which Unisys provides, and some other things, even jail management and border control, any type of solution that can be done on-premise is usually better, especially for the need to collaborate in a cloud setting.
Yeah, I think one of the key aspects to understand is not just the production environment, but the pre-production environment, that what we like to refer to as the DevOps environment. You know, again, 5 years ago, you had to bring in servers, set up your own three-tier architecture, your own databases. Nowadays, you can do that very quickly in the cloud. We find that the law enforcement solutions are heavily modularized. So to put together the modules of data using Hadoop or MapR, leveraging the cloud to mix cloud-available data with your own data, perfect example, where you can test out some of these models and build out your solution in the cloud at a very low cost, and then decide, do we continue to learn or do we actually deploy? Is it good enough right now?
Now, we've talked a little bit about security and how you can have secure environments and virtually walled off environments for different domains. But cybersecurity itself is becoming a bigger and bigger concern for law enforcement. It's getting to be global. And so what are some of the applications that are out there that are benefiting? We've got counterterrorism, we've got cybersecurity, human trafficking. Tell us a little bit about some of those and how cloud enables law enforcement's response to them.
You know, law enforcement is itself the target of many of these criminals, which is a different way of looking at things. The world has changed in that regard. So in many cases, they're protecting their own networks as much as they are investigating crimes along those issues. And I think that's extremely important. Unisys has some unique ways and ideas about how to go about that, protecting data. And we feel if you can't see it, if no one can see it, in law enforcement, we would say there's cover and there's concealment. And everybody in law enforcement that's listening will understand that. You're hiding behind something that protects you, and that's good. But if you can't be seen, that's another layer. We believe both are important, and that speaks to some of our solutions for protecting our network, Steve.
Exactly, and that's how we use the cryptography to isolate those endpoints. So in the cloud, we've extended that capability on the virtual machines, so which people use to run those applications. You can't see those. It walls that off, and it cloaks them and conceals them to other tenants in the cloud and everybody outside as well.
In fact, let's talk about encryption for just a moment, because in the federal space, some recent incidents have shown that there's a need to better architect the way you deploy encryption so that stolen credentials don't also include the encryption keys along with them. So how does that work, Mark?
Yeah, I'll turn over to the technical experts for that to talk a little bit more in detail. But in a nutshell, think of the encryption existing for the extent of that transaction. So it could be that I'm having an exchange in my vehicle with somebody back at headquarters. And I just want to have that instance be encrypted and nobody else be able to see it. When that is done, then everything is going to reset. Steve, do you want to add?
Yeah, certainly. And it certainly is centered a large part around the kinds of and how you encrypt that and where the keys are located. So, you know, lots of time, that's why we kind of also integrate our pieces in there. These clouds and commercial clouds are getting very secure, certainly. What we add within Stealth is the ability for those specific keys to not necessarily be held within the cloud provider, but instead to the agency or the state or enforcement agency that's actually using that cloud. They hold those encryption keys inside their directory kind of structure, and then they encrypt it via that. And it gives them an extra layer of control over the encryption of that data and protection.
And one of the issues for law enforcement networks and FBI networks and so forth for as long as there's been networks is latency and performance. And a lot of people get a little worried about whether clouds can deliver the kind of response, you know, call and receive answer response that you can get on your local Ethernet. Have we gotten pretty much past that situation?
Yeah, I think in the law enforcement environment, and certainly Patrick can talk more about this, you're in a connected environment. For many years, as we know, you know, what's led to FirstNet and SafeCom before that, one of my former initiatives, wireless communications has to be the backbone for interoperability. So you're right, latency is an issue, but the communications network, the content that rides over that network, how that has all been organized into packets and overlaid with encryption is something I think we've got much better at as the community and the IT community over the last 5 years. No question about that.
Patrick, I imagine the acceptance of various applications by law enforcement officers, the people on the ground, increases when they know that there's not long latency or they don't have to wait for a response from some database.
That's very astute, because if officers have to wait, they simply will find a way around and won't use it. We haven't found that cloud is in any way hurting that process. There are other things. If you go into rural communities, so maybe in the metropolitan area of Washington, D.C., you will have incredible networks and things like that. As you stray out into rural parts of the United States, obviously just general communications are relatively limited. FirstNet will provide something like that. But cloud is not an interference in this and isn't slowing the speed at which applications are being delivered to law enforcement. In fact, in some cases, it's enhancing it because it's more efficient and they can spend more on the mobility tools and ruggedized tablets and things like that that put the device with the application on an officer who's on bike patrol, as opposed to him or her having to go back to a station or back to the squad car, which is in their area. So it actually increases the use of that application.
All right. On that note, we'll take a short break. Our guests today are Mark Forman, the global head of public sector at Unisys, Patrick Doyle, the global justice, law enforcement, and border security SME for public sector at Unisys, and Steve Cousin, the vice president of cloud strategy and integration services for Unisys Federal. I'm your moderator, Tom Temin. This is the Modern Mission Critical series. This month, we're discussing law enforcement in the cloud, providing an integrated and secure solution. Sponsored by Unisys on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Government agencies are under relentless pressure to increase performance and reduce the cost of IT while keeping mission-critical systems running at peak. Unisys helps the world's largest organizations meet their toughest IT challenges, ensuring mission-critical systems are up-to-date and secure. With a highly collaborative approach, Unisys drives successful outcomes in big data analytics, infrastructure optimization, mission-critical computing, and military-grade security. To learn how to inject modern into your mission-critical systems, visit unisys.com/federal today.
Welcome back to the Modern Mission Critical series. This month, we're discussing law enforcement in the cloud, providing an integrated and secure solution sponsored by Unisys. Our guests today are Steve Cousin, the Vice President of Cloud Strategy and Integration Services for Unisys Federal, Patrick Doyle, the Global Justice, Law Enforcement, and Border Security Subject Matter Expert for Public Sector at Unisys, and Mark Forman, the Global Head of Public Sector at Unisys. I'm your host, Tom Temin. And I think one of the big trends that's important in computing for whatever domain we're in is mobility, the advent of HTML5 and all those things connected with it. Mark, how is that affecting how architecture is done for applications vis-a-vis the cloud?
Right now, we're seeing a big shift in law enforcement to four-tier architecture. And what I mean by four-tier is that it's no longer just that the data the application server and the web tier. The fourth tier is really that end user device. Applications are becoming chunked up and modularized data, the same as we talked about before. There's usually a service bus that is pulling that all together. But increasingly in law enforcement, we see that end user device take on some of the compute capability. You know, an example may be taking a video, processing some of that at the laptop or the pad that the officer has, and then just sending a data string back for facial recognition, as opposed to sending that whole picture, much less bandwidth, much faster results back to the law enforcement officer.
And Patrick, are mobile devices coming into popular use in law enforcement like they are in so many other fields?
They are, and I think it's important to play off what Mark said, that there's two things. There needn't be a delay in the time in which the officer gets back information that he or she sends in, and it allows them to collect more at the point of contact and more simultaneously. For instance, a 911 call may have come in regarding a police encounter. That information needn't be on a separate track and considered later. It ought to be merged sooner, and mobility tools, applications, and things the officer can do. In other words, the closer you can get that information together in those streams, it's only more helpful to the thinkers back at the in the police station and broader government and at the national level regarding some incident that may involve terrorism. The closer you get the information streams together at the point of contact, the better off you are, the quicker and more safe the community is.
Steve, do people say to you, cloud, give me a four-tier architecture, or is that pretty much a service that you provide and people don't see the architecture, they just see the applications?
Yes, yeah, so we rarely just put a service in the cloud. It always does spawn off other kind of capabilities. So if we migrate data or user communities to the cloud, it's a natural extension to say, well, now I have my application or my email system or whatever I communicate and collaborate with. I want a solution around mobility now, because we've been kind of waiting to see how we want to do this. And so it will spawn on the idea that, okay, we've been using, say, BlackBerry devices or other ones that were more common, but now with all the proliferation of all the new devices, the iPads and the Surface Pros and all the other pieces, they want those integrated in that. And so, yes, as part of the integration activities, we'll implement a cloud-based mobile device management system as well and integrate all those other peripheral devices. We certainly believe that, you know, anytime, anywhere, by any device, helps this collaboration in the cloud.
All right, let's try to make this real and talk about some law enforcement use cases that are affecting how cloud is deployed and so forth. And I think one of the most important ones is basic and known to pretty much everyone, and that's 911 and case management. Those used to be kind of separate, but I guess they've come together in some way. Patrick?
They have. In fact, in the United Kingdom, we do this in an application framework called ULEAF, formerly called HOLMES, but it helps UK law enforcement merge these data points together, if not at the officer level, certainly at the taker of the information, 911 operator, and taking information from the officer, and it merging much sooner. And ultimately, it provides a seamless synergy of the information that is needed to further an investigation. So 911 is done by another entity in many cases, but those eventually marry up into a case file. The sooner you do that, and on an application framework, you can do it instantly and keep a common operating picture in front of everyone, geospatially, and just the data points can be known to everyone sooner.
I mean, 911 has become digital for most locations. So once something is digital, then it's easy for a 911 call, in other words, a response to the 911 call, to touch off the creation of a case in a case management system.
Right, yeah. You know, in the old days, those were separate systems. We now know they need to be tightly coupled and integrated. And the sooner that information gets pulled together and out to the officer in the street, the better the response to that 911 call.
All right, and let's move on to another possible use case, and that is counterterrorism, which is something that at one time was strictly federal. Now it's everybody's business. And so how does that work, and how is that deployed? What are the applications, and how do they work vis-a-vis the cloud and the officer there on the ground?
This is where I think the cloud really excels, and it is yet to be totally realized. The fact that information has to feed ultimately to the federal government and to the people that are considering, have the first right of refusal on whether an issue that might be minor outside the street, right outside our studio, does not in fact relate to some greater cause afoot, which is the protection of the United States. It's ultimately the goal of all law enforcement. A safer streets mean a safer country. So with the cloud, it's easier to collaborate with those tidbits of information, suspicious activity reporting. It makes its way into a common place, the cloud, and can be more easily shared. The faster it happens, the more efficiently it happens, the more often it will happen. The easier that experience is for law enforcement to do that, the better. So counterterrorism is one of the crime trends, if you will, that are most benefited by the cloud and the involvement of local law enforcement, state and federal. It's an easier sell for them as well, and cheaper to do, I should say, Tom, too.
Now, this idea of fusion centers and counterterrorism and all involve multiple databases, and the database may not be owned by the entity that initiates an investigation or where something occurs. So, Steve, with respect to the cloud, how do all of the external databases get integrated into applications when someone's in the cloud? Or Mark, you want to try that one?
Well, actually, I was going to turn it over to Patrick because he lived this before coming to Unisys with the Fusion Center in New Jersey, and I think he has terrific insight into how this works in the real world.
All right. The reality is, Tom, it wasn't done very well before there was a collaborative environment such as the cloud or things that are near cloud-like, et cetera, and sharing environments, because there were all these data sets and we all sat in a big room in a beautiful building that they built and called it a fusion center. But without the integration component, without the ease of integration and the cost effectiveness of doing that, it wasn't going to be done by any one agency that wasn't going to bear the cost of doing it for the good of all. It would be very nice if they did it, but they weren't going to do it. So what the cloud allows you to do is to share data, but in some cases, hold on to your own protected information. It's much along the lines of the way the federal government causes local law enforcement to share criminal intelligence. It can only be shared if it's needed to be done so. But by the time you figure out the mechanism and try to hand that off mechanically, it's already old information. So in a fusion center, if you can do it in a cloud setting, have common applications, common databases, and have them integrated in a cost-effective setting, it will be done. Law enforcement wants to do this, and fusion centers are they're almost a think tank for this. It's how broader law enforcement will be done. Fusion centers are doing it now. The cloud helps that.
Yeah, I think we've seen some stability and movement in the cloud around a couple of standards. One is the CJIS certification. As I've talked to the state CIOs and obviously at the national level, if that data set is CJIS certified in the cloud, then your responders who have those CJIS certs can get access to that data, and you can create this collaboration network effect that is key to the success of the fusion centers.
So it's almost a role-based approach to what access people have.
And that's important too, Mark. I was going to say, in the cloud, it's easy to segment that micro-segmentation of security because you have a federal agent at a fusion center or even a task force setting addressing local crime. They have a certain right to know that perhaps a local officer working just next to them doesn't need to know. That's relatively easily compartmentalized and secured so that they can share what they need to and protect what they can't share.
That's right, and we've discussed that. And that's that whole concept around the communities of interest and how we basically virtualize that network to create those. And so these groups of users, devices, virtual machines, endpoints are collected together in a community of interest.
Let's talk about investigations, because after the first response component of law enforcement is done, then you've got the investigative tail, which could be a long time. How is that enhanced by cloud?
Well, I think, again, it's a natural fit because before, if you weren't able to share certain parts of it, law enforcement agencies probably weren't going to share at all because they just didn't want to get close to the edge. This goes right in with the micro-segmentation and security. In investigation, you can share just what you need to. And with imagery, if we're handling it in the cloud and we want to send just the pictures of the actual victim, victim wounds, we want to see if it matches some other pattern. We can send just those and not even share the location or other information that might include pictures of children that were also involved. So the fact that you can share just what you need to allows law enforcement to get very close to each other without breaking the rules of 28 CFR of sharing and criminal intelligence things. And that's very critical because if they can't get close to the edge, they won't do it at all. With the cloud, they can do that.
And I'd agree with Patrick. And the way we integrate that, there's usually never an implementation in the cloud that we don't actually, we augment it with our own stealth software. We've talked about that. But we also additionally augment it with secure authentication software for two-factor authentication. You've heard a lot about that lately. And single sign-on capabilities so that, say, the second factor is that identity of that user within that agency's database or Active Directory. We verify that that's who they say they are before we let them into that environment.
All right. So in the minute or so we have left, I guess to summarize all this, it sounds to me as if the cloud enablement of the infrastructure and all of these applications that are domain specific seems to relieve everybody in law enforcement at all levels of a lot of the data center administrative and non-productive tasks that are related that are not related to the mission, and kind of offload all of that so there can be more policing going on, Mark.
That's right, and the cost that goes along with that is an important factor in today's tight budget environment in most law enforcement agencies. Exactly right.
Patrick, final comment?
I would say, too, that the fact that you can overlay analytics on all of this data when it's in a shared setting is a huge benefit that hasn't even really been talked about today, but the fact that you can analyze everything together is on an, into itself a huge advantage of cloud enablement.
So as an analytics platform, you've got that capability right there also.
And the just the leaps and bounds that these cloud providers are making every year, 150, 200 updates and features every single year, they're improving their technology very fast and very rapid and enabling a lot of this other capability to happen.
All right, good place to stop today. I want to thank today's guests. Mark Forman is the Global Head of Public Sector at Unisys. Steve Cousin is the Vice President of Cloud Strategy and Integration Services for Unisys Federal. And Patrick Doyle, Global Justice, Law Enforcement, and Border Security Subject Matter Expert for Public Sector at Unisys. I'm Tom Temin, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Thank you for listening to the Modern Mission Critical Series, sponsored by Unisys on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. The entire discussion can be found on demand at federalnewsradio.com/Unisys.
Government agencies are under relentless pressure to increase performance and reduce the cost of IT while keeping mission-critical systems running at peak. Unisys helps the world's largest organizations meet their toughest IT challenges, ensuring mission-critical systems are up-to-date and secure. With a highly collaborative approach, Unisys drives successful outcomes in big data analytics, infrastructure optimization, mission-critical computing, and military-grade security. To learn how to inject modern into your mission-critical systems, visit unisys.com/federal today.
This is the story of Daniel, who was born 2 months early. He weighed 1 pound, 7 ounces. His lungs weren't ready. His heart wasn't ready. His brain wasn't ready. At the hospital, the nurses said Daniel was a fighter, and they would do all they could to help him. The doctor said even with the best care, Daniel may never walk. He may never see. He may never learn. Daniel's parents spent night after night at the hospital, watching his every breath, holding his tiny hands, and looking for signs that he was growing stronger. At home, his parents looked around Daniel's empty nursery, at the quiet toys and the still rocker, and they hoped that one day they could sit in that rocking chair and tell this story to their very healthy son. Daniel's is just one of the more than 500,000 stories of babies born prematurely last year, but there's hope for a happy ending. The March of Dimes is funding the research and programs to stop premature birth. You can help bring more babies home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.com. Working together for stronger, healthier babies.